The text is John 1, 29 to 41. I Love Lucy was playing in a memory care unit the other day, and there was Cuban-born Desi Arnaz telling the ditzy Lucy Ball, "You got some splaining to do." Well, the Holy Spirit has some splaining to do as Jesus starts his public ministry. He starts with explaining John's ministry, and it's not what you think. John the Baptist is first and foremost all about the baptism of Jesus rather than all those coming out to him. But to put it in the right perspective, he tells the people that he, the forerunner, is really second. This is significant. Although John was born 6 months before Jesus, he says Jesus was before me. He explains earlier in the chapter, he has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Cue the Twilight Zone music. John is the forerunner of one who has always existed. He's the forerunner not just of the one born of the Virgin Mary, but of true God begotten of the Father from eternity. Luther said the most important part of John was his finger. He would say John was the perfect finger pointer. Now, I don't think there's a positive way to use that expression in English today. Don't start finger pointing, we say. Don't point your finger at me, we say. But John pointed his finger at the one who was known as the son of a carpenter from Nazareth and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Notice John does not say takes away the sins, plural, of the world. That's because the Holy Spirit isn't thinking of sin the way we do. I do this thing, that thing, and that thing over here wrong, but the rest is pretty good or at least passable. Nope, sin dominates all of this fallen world. With every mortal breath, we breathe sin in and out. John points his finger at Jesus and says, "There's the one who's carrying away what can't be carried away from a fallen world." It's like saying Jesus is carrying away wetness from water or whiteness from rice. To explain John's ministry, it's not enough, though, to say he was the forerunner who was second or the perfect finger pointer. He was also the painter who painted with water. When my kids were young, you gave them a water and a paintbrush, and they applied all the water to a white page with a black outline on it, and colored pictures were revealed. That's what John says his baptism was for. The reason I came baptizing with water was that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world might be revealed to Israel. You understand that John's baptism did not make Jesus the Lamb of God. That's a heresy of the early church that's still around today. No, John's baptism revealed who was God's Lamb, who was the Messiah, the one anointed by God to save humanity, the one where the Holy Spirit was located. Jesus stood in line, not distinguishable from the hundreds of sinners waiting to be baptized. But when the baptismal waters were poured on him, heaven was torn open, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, and the Father boomed from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." When God makes a point, it's hard to miss it. And he did so with a man who painted by water. That explains John's ministry, but John's ministry is all about revealing Jesus. So Jesus' ministry is the one we really want explained. You might think of him as the perfect bird catcher for humanity. I've tried catching birds many ways. The box and the stick thing, a net that drops from above. I read that the ancients would paint branches with a sticky substance, so once the bird perched, it couldn't fly. It's not easy to catch a bird. And it was impossible for sinful humanity to catch the bird that we needed, the Holy Spirit. Unless you have the Holy Spirit when you breathe your last, when your final breath is expelled here, that means your next breath you take will be of sulfur and brimstone in hell. Without the Holy Spirit here, every step you take, every move you make, breathes out more and more of that precious substance called life till you drop dead. Now, how are you going to get the Holy Spirit? How often my kids chase pigeons, never ever to catch one. They get oh so close and that bird would fly, and usually not very far off at all. That's all sinners. They chase the spirit that is life, thinking they can catch it in money, in things, in love, in feelings, in success, and it always eludes them. Even when they've caught all that they can, that can be caught, that is in this life, at death they don't soar to worlds unknown on the wings of the spirit. No, their heart, soul, and life remain anchored to some mundane thing here, like Citizen Kane and his sled. The man who as God the Son was never without the Holy Spirit receives the Holy Spirit for fallen humanity. He catches the bird of paradise that we can't, no matter how hard we try or how badly we want to. The Holy Spirit can land on Jesus because he's a perfect man. Doves do not land on decaying dead things. Vultures do that. Crows do that. Grackles do that. Doves don't. Among all the people being baptized, only one could catch the Holy Spirit, the perfect man, Jesus. There he is. The bird that is forgiveness, life, and salvation is perched right there on Jesus. Jesus isn't only the bird catcher, though. He's the shepherd who gathers sheep by being a lamb. Notice how it takes the John's disciples twice being told Jesus is the Lamb of God before they follow. That's because they were looking for the Messiah to be a shepherd. The Old Testament promised that the Lord would come and shepherd his people. He wouldn't lead them like sheep without a shepherd, it said. He would shepherd them into green pastures. He would shepherd them by still waters. He would shepherd them by restoring their souls. But John doesn't point fingers at a shepherd, but a lamb. Shepherds saved by force. Shepherds saved by violence. Shepherds saved by driving away evil. Lambs saved by dying. Lambs saved by their blood being painted over your doors where the angel of death passes over. Lambs saved by having their blood poured on the altar of God. The disciples were getting their first taste of the theology of the cross rather than the theology of glory. Peter is eventually going to get it when he writes, years from now, you are redeemed from the empty way of life you inherited from your fathers with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot. The ministry of Jesus is explained not by the revelry of onward Christian soldiers or even the triumphalism of lift high the cross. The ministry of Jesus is explained by the sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, and dying and being sealed in a stone-cold tomb. Jesus is the shepherd who is a lamb, and he is the garbage collector who is a friend. This reflects the two ways you can understand takes away the sin of the world. This can refer to Jesus carrying them away from the world as the garbage man does the trash from your house, or taking away their guilt and punishment by paying for them as a friend might pay off a loan for you. Both images are here and both are to be reveled in. Think of all your sin. Too manifold, too many, too mighty for you to move. Hear the beep, beep, beep of the garbage truck backing up to pick it all up and carry away that mess, that stench, that weight far away from you. Or think of all your sins as one bill after another piling up, past due, overdue, final notice. Here comes the friend with a paid in full stamp, and down it comes time after time after time on every one of your sins. And don't worry, he ain't ever going to run out of ink, because the red paid in full stamp is inked in his own blood. So far, the text has explained the ministry of John and Jesus. The last to be explained is the New Testament ministry. In one sense, if you've been listening, you know what it is. But our text shows not only the first steps, but the first missteps of the New Testament ministry. You know you have a New Testament minister if before he asks you to follow him, you can see that he is following Jesus. I'll give you a clue. If he doesn't mention Jesus very much, or Jesus isn't the doer of things for you, but primarily the receiver of things from you, well, he isn't representing the ministry of the New Testament. And if he is a she can't be. It was a good enough reason for the ancient church to say that since Jesus didn't pick any women for pastors, we can't either. If it was good enough for them, it's good enough for the modern church. And it was till the 19th century. The New Testament ministry is taught by Jesus before it teaches others. It took at least two times for the two disciples of John to realize that they were done with John. It was time to move on to Jesus. It's interesting that they don't approach Jesus as the Lamb of God, but that is who he is, but as rabbi, teacher, that is what he does. It's interesting that there are a few fumbling steps and outright missteps. Where are you staying? Well, that's a funny question. What, do you think they're interested in checking out Jesus' pad, his place, his crib, his new home? And Jesus' answer is cryptic. Come and you will see. Do you picture Jesus is showing them around and saying, and here's the kitchen, notice the granite countertops, and over there's the living room, do you like the open floor plan? No, the one who made a point out of saying later that he had no place to lay his head is not about where he is staying. But Jesus does say, come and you will see. And what do we see a New Testament minister coming away having seen? He comes away from spending a day with the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, with the world's perfect bird catcher, with the world's perfect garbage collector, with the world's perfect friend. And he comes away from spending a day with him, concluding, we have found the Christ. We found the Messiah. We found the one promised 4,000 years earlier who had crushed the head of the serpent and get us back into the garden. We found the one who is not only the answer to our devil, but to sin and death too. The New Testament ministry is not about imparting good feelings. It's not about giving good feelings. It's not about making people feel good about themselves. The New Testament ministry is about imparting truth, the truth that no sinner can live without. It's about finger pointing to Jesus who carries away your garbage and pays for you having made the mess. The New Testament ministry is about painting the forgiveness of sins using the water and blood of Christ. And if you're in the New Testament ministry or sitting at the feet of one who is not doing the above, you not only got some splaining to do, but some repenting. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.